The gas taps get turned off. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Sasha Twining, in for Victoria Craig. Hello, good morning. Russia has cut off the natural gas supply to Poland and Bulgaria. Both those countries buy most of their gas from Moscow, but refuse to change contract terms and pay in rubles, the Russian currency, as President Putin had demanded. Russia depends on the finance generated by the sale of natural gas, but Europe is trying to wean itself off supplies from Moscow after the invasion of Ukraine. Here's Poland's Deputy Foreign Affairs Minister Marcin Pradacz, confident that his country will still be able to cope.
In 2005, decided to build an LNG terminal, which is right now operational. So we are buying 25-30% of our needs from the US and Gulf countries. This current government again decided to build a Baltic pipe, so the pipeline connection with Norway, which will be operational in the autumn. Till that, we do have gas in our storages, and we've built also many interconnectors with Lithuania, with Slovakia, with Germany as well. Now there are options to get the gas from other partners.
Tom Marzek-Mansa, head of gas analytics at Commodities Information Service, ICIS, says cutting off Russian gas to Poland and Bulgaria is quite significant.
In both instances, they are very reliant on Russian gas as their key source of supply in gas terms, especially for Bulgaria. Bulgaria is the smaller of the two in terms of gas consumption, but it's more reliant on Russia. 75% of gas into Bulgaria came from Russia last year. It looks like Poland was bracing itself for this in terms of the way that they've refilled their storages recently. So they have more storage in Poland and are better stocked. And unfortunately, Bulgaria is not in the same position.
So where does Bulgaria, and indeed Poland, but to a lesser extent, get alternative supplies from?
Russia supplies, for example, neighbouring Greece with gas that is delivered through Bulgaria and then onward to Greece. And what we'll potentially see is that Greek gas companies will say, let's leave our gas in Bulgaria, and the Bulgarians can have it, but Bulgaria, you then go onto the international LNG market and backfill those volumes from somewhere else.
Russia's now taken this step against Poland and Bulgaria, but with your experience and looking at the market, will there be a country next?
I think this is a really seismic warning shot for all the other major gas consumers of Russian long-term contract gas. I suspect we'll see those who were maybe sitting on the fence in terms of whether they wanted to comply with the Vladimir Putin decree from the end of March regarding paying in a new structure through Gazprom Bank will probably now not sit on the fence and will seek to make those payments. So I wouldn't expect other companies or countries to see such drops in their supplies, given that they now know it's not an empty threat.
How important is it for Russia that countries keep paying their bills, as it were?
It's very important for the revenues to continue into Gazprom. Poland and Bulgaria's volumes from Russia are relatively small compared to the gas consumption of Italy and Germany in particular, which have huge contracts for Russian gas. So losing two customers who, by the way, were never going to purchase any more Russian gas as of the end of this year anyway, may have been a way to highlight to other customers that cutoffs are possible if payments do not happen in the way that they've asked for.
Tom Marzek-Mansa, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, this has had an impact on natural gas prices, as you may imagine. At one stage, European futures were up some 24%. Elsewhere, consumer prices in Australia have risen by more than 5% over the past year. It's the fastest increase in more than 20 years. Now, we've seen many global companies change their business plans as a result of the war in Ukraine, but until now, no major Chinese ones. They had been cautious about suspending business with Russia because the government in Beijing opposes sanctions on Moscow. However, the drone manufacturer, DJI, has now taken that step. Here's the BBC's Steve McDonnell in Beijing.
DJI is the world's largest maker of consumer and industrial drones. The company said it had seen online footage said to show the Russian military using its products during the invasion of Ukraine. But a DJI representative said it hadn't been able to confirm whether this is true. Ukrainian officials have also accused the drone maker of leaking the country's military information to Russia, something the Shenzhen-based manufacturer has described as utterly false. Now DJI has announced it has suspended business in Russia and Ukraine to try to ensure that its drones are not being used in the war.
Stephen McDonnell there. Here's something that may make you stop and think. Every year, around 2 months' worth of electricity could be being used up by so-called vampire devices in our home. That's things like chargers, microwaves and smart devices, not in use but left switched on at the wall. The BBC's Mark Chislack reports from the English Midlands.
In Ashby de la Zouche, Leicestershire, for mother of one, Sarah Goretzma, money is tight. Her partner often works away from home, and she's retraining as a paramedic. It wasn't good news when her latest electricity bill arrived.
The bill would be between £70 and £80. This month when it came in, it was just over £220. A lot of tears had from that, a lot of nights lying awake in bed just going, I don't know how we're going to do it.
Like many of us, Sarah's home has its fair share of technology and devices powered by electricity, as we discovered when she showed me around her home.
We've got our Alexa, smart meter, and we've got a phone charger all on that side.
What have we got going on in here? Is this a smart TV?
Yes.
Do you leave it on standby?
Yes, we do.
And why do you leave it on standby?
I mean, you don't think it's going to cost a lot because it's not doing anything.
But our technology-filled homes are a big part of the problem. Every time we switch this tech to standby, we become victim to so-called vampire devices. This is technology which still draws power even when it's not in use or it's in standby mode. Now, individual devices don't use that much electricity, but when we multiply it by all of the consumer electronics that fill our homes, it all starts to add up. Britain's largest electricity supplier, British Gas, has carried out a new study which found on average the equivalent of 2 months' worth of our annual household electricity bills is down to devices left on standby. Jessica Rawston is an electrical engineer for British Gas. She highlighted for me the worst offending devices.
Your set-top boxes and your televisions, also your microwaves.
There is a simple solution to this issue, though, as Brian Horn from the Energy Saving Trust explains.
If something doesn't need to be on, then you should switch it off at the wall or unplug it. Just try and make it as easy as possible to turn it off. But if you've got a whole bunch of things plugged in behind your television, you maybe want to plug them all into one extension lead.
Switching devices off rather than leaving them in standby won't solve cost of living problems overnight. But in the same way that every bit of power used adds up to a bigger bill, every bit of money saved can relieve a tiny bit of that pressure.
Mark Chislack reporting. And finally, if you're munching on your breakfast cereals this morning, in the UK, producer Kellogg's is mounting a legal challenge to the government's new food rules, which would restrict advertising on products high in sugar, like the cereals. Now, the company says nutritional value of their products should be calculated with milk added in, which would change the overall health calculation. In London, I'm Sasha Twining with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.